What is up, my people? Welcome to Fellowship Bible Church's Sermon Spotlight, where we are coming at you each and every week with a fresh service to debrief an effort to send biblical truth. What better way to do that than by the power of conversation? I'm Mark Francis in the host seat today, and I have a couple worship team members with me today to debrief Easter weekend. So I've got Rose Locke. You are typically here in the seat on Sermon Spotlights, yes?
Yeah, like once a month or so, yep. I get to come up here.
Love having you here to share your perspectives. And then we have a pastor, but not the teaching pastor. We have Pastor of Worship and Creative Arts, Mike Lukens. How are you?
First time on the Sermon Spotlight. I finally made it.
Yay.
I have arrived.
I could tell the story that I've heard Mike said, I've offered Mike my seat before,
yes,
and he goes, yeah, no, thanks. Yeah, so
twist
it's not
some
like
arms.
He hasn't been offered.
I enjoy watching it.
Yeah.
Preparing for it is, yeah, let someone else do that.
But you know, you had a lot to contribute to this past weekend, so we're going to give Mark a week off. We're giving Caleb a week off as well. But we get a chance to unpack Easter weekend, and it began really looking at Palm Sunday last week that really helps us grow in our anticipation of being reminded of the cross and the crucifixion and Christ's death into his resurrection. But Rose, I'll just come your way first, because Good Friday service, there was a lot that went in behind the scenes. And I've already had questions asked me, but what went on with the creation of that service? Because there's, I know, a lot of behind the scenes things that went around the cutting room floor, if you want to call it that.
There's a lot on the cutting room floor. That's what's really sad. Like, yeah, if I could sit here and list the 25 ideas that I had, like,
right,
my whiteboard's on the other side of the studio wall.
Yeah.
And like, if you walk by my whiteboard in the last 8 weeks or so, you just were kind of, wow, there's a lot of stuff on that whiteboard that did not happen, actually,
right,
a lot of it.
But we use this piece of art as a centerpiece.
Yeah,
so walk us through the history of that process.
Well, it's kind of a long story, and I'll try to make it brief, but we've done this these open houses here at FBC before. We've titled them Perspectives on a Passion.
Mm-hmm.
I love that title because I think that that's what artists do for us. They allow us to see things through other people's eyes. And so when we ask artists to portray the story of Christ, then we get to see like their thoughts about that process. And I think we many of us know about Jack Cribbs, who was one of our elders, and his pieces of art about the crucifixion. And I think his pieces of art actually do that for us really well, because he gives us like bird's eyes views sometimes. He gives us views of looking directly up at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those perspectives, in essence, on the Passion helps encourage us in our walk, I feel like, and helps us see a different side of the story. And so We had planned one of those for, I guess, what year would COVID have canceled it? 2020? 2021.
Yeah.
So we had planned one of those for that time, and it got canceled. And part of that event, I had gone to Scott Santmeyer, who is one of our pastors on staff, who has a background in the graphic arts. And I had gone to Scott and I said, hey, Scott, I would like as part of this to be a collaborative art piece creation. Because there's a work of art that our congregation created called Broken and Spilled Out,
mm-hmm,
from an earlier Perspectives on the Passion.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, Scott, can you do something? Can you come up with something collaborative, mm-hmm, for that event? And so Scott had come up with this really interesting artwork of Christ on the cross. And when the event got canceled, Scott completed the artwork all by himself.
Mm.
It happens to be hanging in his office. So if anybody has a chance, you can go over there and see it. So that's part one of the story. Part two of the story is that there's this section of our building, I call it the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the second floor, close to the fireside and the adult ed classes. And that section of the building has kind of become a space where our team uses it. 2 years ago, we had an exhibit up there that was a sensory exhibit where you could hear the sounds of the crucifixion. You could taste grapes. You could feel, I don't remember what we had them feel, but maybe thorns.
We had some thorns, we had some nails,
yeah,
we had other things.
So
yeah,
you could feel, yeah, you could experience the passion through your senses,
mm-hmm,
basically is what we had used it for. We've done other things up there with Thrive, which was our biblical, just a lot of.
We had the 40th anniversary celebration of a timeline
there,
of what,
yeah,
happened through FBC's history.
Yeah, so we've done a lot of stuff in that space. So I we haven't done anything in that space for quite some time. So at the end of January or so, I was thinking, man, I'd really like to do something in that space that's collaborative. And I hadn't even really talked to our worship team. That's unlike me. Usually I come to the team and get like blessings first. But I was thinking about it, and I ran into Scott Santmeyer, and I was asking him about the work he had created, and I told him what I was thinking, and Scott was like, oh yeah, maybe we can do something like that. And Scott and I went back and forth about it for a couple of days, and you know, again, parts of those conversations ended up on the cutting room floor. But basically, within 48 hours of Scott and I making a decision that we would like to see it happen, Scott had that beautiful piece of art that we created in my inbox. And so it's as if God like inspired me to ask the right questions, and then God inspired Scott, because that's really fast for something like that to happen. And then I came to the team. Mike can tell kind of the rest of the story, because I then came to the worship planning team, and Mike was asking us questions like, what should we do for Good Friday? And I said, I sent the piece of art. I said, hey, I asked for this piece of art, and it's really very good, and I like the title. And Scott had titled it Garden to Garden. I was like, could we use that as our title for our Good Friday service? And so I'll let Mike pick up the story from there, kind of, because he ran with it.
The debate was, do we do a big open house with that piece and elaborate on some of the themes that came out of it, or do we make a centrally located where everyone gets the same story? And so that's also kind of where the dilemma was for the team.
Yeah. Right. So as we plan for Good Friday services, or, you know, Christmas Eve, any of the special services that we have, you know, you start with like, what is the function that we're trying to accomplish? You know, what is God calling us to be about when we gather to do that? And then what form will that take on to help accomplish that? So we really, every time we celebrate Good Friday and Easter, and even Palm Sunday preceding into that, we want to, you know, dig into what is the meaning of what took place, why do we remember that and celebrate it, and how does that impact our walk with Christ now? So, you know, as Rose brought that, it wasn't initially, you know, it was more of a like preparation for Easter option that we had.
And in fact, I did something really unusual. I told the team, I said, I'm going to go with this project, whether we use it for Good Friday or not, because the whole experience of creating the artwork in preparation for the Good Friday service was meaningful to me.
Yeah. And Scott, when he created that, had listed the 12 or 13 words underneath that kind of walk through from the Garden of Gethsemane to the Garden Tomb, you know, the prayed, betrayed, and so on, that just ended up being the perfect outline for walking through the story. You know, we want to retell the story and then dig into the meaning of it. And we attached Old Testament prophecies and explanations of what the significance of each of those things were. And then the Last Supper wasn't actually part of that painting, but it is a significant part of telling the Good Friday story. And so what we did was when we got to that point, we left Christ in the tomb, like buried,
rewind,
and then we did a rewind back to the Last Supper, which, you know, is very interesting that, you know, the first scene in that painting is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, his head's down, the drops of blood are dripping down, and there's the cup, which... You know, I haven't really had a conversation with Scott about this, but I'm assuming that that is representative of Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass before me, meaning the cup of God's wrath that is about to be poured out on Jesus on the cross. But it also, you know, to us, we use that cup as symbolic of the Last Supper, that this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And the inauguration of this new covenant because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is so important to the Good Friday Easter story. We went back and celebrated communion and participated in that together.
And so, to have the Old Testament passages correlating with the New Testament passages, telling the story along with those words that Scott laid out with the artwork, I think allowed people to visually see the story, hear the story, read the story, and then have moments also for reflection of praise. So it allowed for this Old Testament, New Testament, scriptural base story to come to life in a real way that hopefully is impactful, at least the stories and the feedback that we've gotten.
Fresh, you know, yeah. That's one of the things I love about working on this team is that just the way the church liturgical year circles us continuously back to the story, whether it's at Christmas and we're focusing on the incarnation part, that he actually became flesh and he became man and God humbled himself even to death on a cross. Like if we're focusing on that incarnation part in December, or we're focusing on the actual death, burial, and resurrection as we tend to do in the springtime, it's all the same story. And God is so gracious and gives us opportunities to look at it like with, again, a different perspective, and that's kind of true of our spiritual walks too, right? As we become more mature believers, we start to look on those things with different eyes too. And so it's just really cool how God just allows those things to happen and brings the right people at the right times. That's the thing that continues to humble me, is when we need an expert, when we need a graphic artist, we've got a graphic artist. And when we need whatever we need, God just seems to have provided that and in abundance in front of us.
And I think part of the significance of the church calendar and the opportunities that we have to celebrate Christmas and Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter and, you know, whatever other things we focus on is not that we need to refresh it or redress it or come up with some creative way to, you know, because it's boring, but we just need to be reminded of the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God in that story. And you see that all throughout the scriptures, you know, God, you know, set these stones up as a reminder so you can tell your children what happened, you know, and as we retell that Good Friday story, it's to be a reminder. It's a way to pass on the faith to the next generation. And it was just so neat to all throughout the weekend to have kids involved and, you know, they had their own kids book that was just incredible. Just, you know, as I was reading through the kids book, I was like, I might maybe prefer this better than the adult book because it's a little easier to understand. And, you know, they had the opportunity to participate in color and, you know, Sunday mornings, they were with us for Saturday and Sunday, they were with us for the services, and just exciting to be able to retell the story and think about passing on that.
Yeah,
I'll just say those coloring books turned out really cool. Like I had one friend who actually went and got three so she could put them in on each of her grandkids' Easter basket.
Yeah, cool.
You know, and that's what's really cool is when you see like it really starting to come to life for people. Just a real encouragement.
And here at FBC, I mean, we do. The worship team does like to take extra special attention set aside for these Good Friday services and Christmas Eve. I think if we're going to look at the calendar year, we set aside really extra special intentional effort to allow those services to really stand out, to reflect on those key themes. Yes, we should be, and we do rehearse those themes of Christ's birth and death and resurrection every weekend.
Right.
But when you see it set aside like that in a calendar year to say, man, we're going to really focus on that, I think it helps reinvigorate your just love for God and what he's done for you. And doing it together with a church family, I mean, is special. So if you've never been to any of those services, just know that we put extra special care and effort into those services just to allow you to have that time of reflection and worship. Well, that leads us to Easter weekend. That there's more we can talk about with Good Friday, but obviously the story as we left that service doesn't end with the cross, but it comes in with the tomb. And what Mark did to unpack the resurrection came through the eyes of the book of Daniel. And I find
Mark
it very
so masterful at very, that.
Oh, I was racking my brain. How is he going to do this? And he was able to use Daniel 4. So Rose, I'll come your way first, just with what you saw happen behind the scenes, along with the encouragement of the church body coming together, over 2,000 people in attendance for those Easter weekend services. What really stood out to you?
Oh, I can't even begin to. This morning I was able to share with our worship team stories. I have a lot of stories, but I know it sounds, one of the most moving things for me, frankly, over the Easter weekend or encouraging is what I should say, because the, of course, what Christ did for me, when I can engage in that, during our worship times, I'm just so overwhelmed with thanksgiving, and it's very emotional for me. So because I work and I'm keeping these running behind the scenes, I don't always completely engage in that in that moment. Mm-hmm. It's later for me or earlier. But one of the really special things that happened for me is at 8 o'clock services, I happened to pop out to the fireside, which is a place that we use for overflow sometimes. Mm-hmm. And there was grandma and grandpa and son and daughter-in-law probably, and two twin boys and a couple other people out there. And they're like singing at the top of their lungs, God is alive. And it's just 12 people. In the midst of our body of 2,000, there were 12 to 14 people out there singing God is alive at the top of their lungs. And probably we wouldn't have put most of them on the stage as soloists, and probably, you know, like, To a human being's ears, it may not have been the most beautiful sound, but to the Lord's ears and to the spiritual realms, it was just this incredibly strong declaration of who God is and what he had done. And in the midst of 2,000 people, it was incredibly moving and encouraging to me. So that's just one brief glimpse of what I saw God do over the weekend. So I don't know, Mike, you got some stories of...
Yeah, I mean, I was sharing this morning as well. You know, I don't know whether to be encouraged or discouraged by Easter attendance, you know, we had over 2,000 people, you know, that got to hear this good news. Mark did an incredible job of sharing the gospel in the midst of Daniel chapter 4, you know, the resurrection life that's available because of Christ's resurrection. You know, we'd love to see all them come back next week.
Yeah, you think that on a typical weekend, at most, we've been getting less than 1,200.
Right.
And so now another 800 people were able to come and participate. And
so if you're here on Easter Sunday and you're not coming back next week, come on back.
Yeah. But as you said, the gospel picture was painted loud and clear.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the memories for me was just seeing Mark say, and all you got to do is just visually. He's looking
here
up and doesn't even say anything. And that's just such a fresh way of painting a picture of what belief looks like. And the scripture and the passage of Nebuchadnezzar looking up to heaven and recognizing and acknowledging God in his moment of complete need and being abandoned and abolished and almost basically animal-like in what God did to him, creating that need of Nebuchadnezzar, you're a sinner. you are not in charge of all things. Yeah. You do need God. And to how Mark likens that to the gospel and just realizing, okay, all Nebuchadnezzar had to do was just look up to heaven and know, okay, God, you're in charge and not me. Yeah. That to me is a takeaway moment from the weekend.
And I love, you know, Mark's sensitivity to who was here. So he begins the whole message with, like, this is Nebuchadnezzar, who was a real person, who, you know, we have proof that he existed
by the
cuneiform and the carvings and things like that. So it's not just some, you know, make-believe Bible story that we're telling. This is a real person. This really happened to him. And this is the God who caused it all to happen. And we can have a relationship with him because of his resurrection and just... Mm-hmm. You know, all of us need to hear that truth.
Yeah, and, you know, there's also a component of, well, ho-hum, it's Easter again, and it's just the gospel message again.
Just the gospel.
And it's, I've been there, done that, I'm checking the box to show up. If you have that mentality, what are you missing? What truth about God or about where you are with your walk with the Lord are you not grabbing onto if you're just thinking, okay, I'm checking the box, I've been there, done that? Like, how would you encourage somebody in their faith to say things are more than just saying, okay, there's more than, I've heard the gospel message before, I don't need that? Like, how do you tackle that?
Well, I think the gospel message impacts our every single day in, day out moment of life. That idea that we are fallen creatures and only by God's grace, only by God's grace are we getting up in the morning, only by God's grace is the sun rising. Mm-hmm. You know, like only because of the grace of God are all things held together. Like when that starts to impact the way you live your day, day in and day out, somehow you're different and people see that and know that. And now you're bringing glory to God and you're declaring that to the spiritual realms. And this morning I said in our meeting, like Nebuchadnezzar stands on his balcony or whatever, right? And looks out across his kingdom that he has built. And how many of us do that? How far are we from Nebuchadnezzar? How many of us look out, oh, this is my family, and I raised them, and these are my children, and they behave this way, and this is my home that I've, you know, created, or, you know, any of those kinds of things where we start to think that we in our fallen humanity can do anything good is taking our eyes off the Lord.
That made it hit home, you know, when Mark is like, we're no different. Yeah. Than Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
And you can think of this as just a little storyline. It's kind of cute. And Mark was even referencing when he was a kid, he loved, you know, hearing the story and how fascinating it is. But to see the simple gospel message of God is God and we're not, the depravity of man and our sinful ways of thinking that we can do better than God or we know more, to then hearing the message of what God has done to redeem us and to save us, and to then allow us to say, okay, yes, we can respond to that and now be free of all of the issues of sin and have eternal life. There's just this gospel story woven through that Nebuchadnezzar story and how his beautiful response, Mark didn't really elaborate that, but you can go back and look at that later, what Nebuchadnezzar says and how it's almost a complete psalm of praise to God of you're the one who's made all things. And it's just a neat picture of the gospel. Found in the middle of a story of Daniel. It's fascinating.
And the you know, when we gather for Easter once a year, it's an opportunity to be reminded of, you know, from Good Friday to the resurrection of the gospel. But God gave us an even more clear ordinance to help do that, and it's communion. You know, so communion in its best form is a gospel proclamation that reminds us of something, and it's that we are at peace with God because of what Christ has done. You know, communion isn't, I take communion so I can get right with God. Communion is a remembrance that we are at peace with God. We have been brought into a covenant relationship with Him, and because of that, we are to live a certain way. We're to live in light of that covenant. And there's obligations for us to be reminded of that. And so when we gather together and, you know, sadly for some people, the perspective is, here's the gospel and, you know, I can kind of check out at this point of the message. That should be the time when we're celebrating what God has done for us. And if nothing else, praying for those who have yet to trust Christ as their Savior, and that the gospel would break through their blindness and their hardened hearts, and that God would use that time. But we just constantly, daily, moment by moment, need to be reminded that we live at peace with God because of what happened Good Friday and Easter, and we can live in light of that.
Yeah, I'm reminded of Romans 5. I mean, if I look at Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. There's that end reaction. There's we exalt. So we're recognizing that we can just simply praise Him for the grace that He's given us.
Right. Well, and I think sometimes we get all caught up in the trappings, right? So we get all like, what is work? Like, you know, we'll explore all this. What is worship? And we'll explore like, you know, how does how we behave impact our salvation? And we'll get all caught up in those extras. And we forget this, what I think is a really central idea, that without the death of Christ, all of those trappings, you know, like we don't have any access to God at all without that singular, important, perfect, ultimate sacrificial lamb. There is no worship. There is no behavior. There is no, like, what is our salvation? What is our eschatology? Right. It's all
And nothing. With you can't have the resurrection without the death. And so therefore there's the celebration of that. Mm-hmm. And you can't have that death without then the whole plan of God and his redemptive plan ready to get laid out. And in the fullness of time, as Galatians said, that was the right, appropriate time. Yeah. And it's just neat to do that because we celebrate this gospel message each and every weekend. So Mike, as you're saying, I encourage people to keep coming back because we do need that constant reminder. You know, each and every Sunday.
And keep inviting your neighbors and your coworkers to come back.
And we need the encouragement of one another. Right. Because without this little girl taking my husband by the hand and showing her the part of the art piece that she did, without her asking Mike Lukens, same child, asking Mike Lukens about the gospel and him having a conversation about the cross with her, like without that kind of encouragement in our daily walk, it's so easy for us to become Nebuchadnezzars, right? It's so easy for us to think we've accomplished something or we've done something the community is all such an important part.
Yeah. Well, you guys have both referenced this morning, we mentioned this, we talked about this. That's worship planning team conversations that you guys are now a little privy to by having us and a few others in that room where we get a chance to evaluate and think through and recap what happened and then plan it for the future. So you got a little taste of that here today in this episode of just some of the thoughts and conversations that we're able to have as a worship team. Well, thank you guys for being here and contributing. Unpacking a little behind the scenes there at Good Friday. There's so much more. Yes, I know. We don't want to bore you guys to death. You know, we'll get you guys going. But so there are a couple things to kind of continue to look forward to. Yes, obviously, worship services and our gatherings continue each and every weekend. We're back to the normal times, the normal schedule this weekend. In a couple of weeks is our fellowship family meeting, otherwise known as a congregational meeting. So if you want to see what God is doing here at the church, a little more of the unpacking of different ministries and see what's going on behind the scenes, come back for that. That's going to be Sunday night on April 14th at 6:00. There'll be dessert to follow and fellowship for that. So that's just one thing to put in your calendar for the upcoming weeks ahead. Remember that you can always see and hear what God is doing around FBC through other podcasts as well. The Fellowship Family podcast has a couple new episodes coming up in the next couple weeks. There will also be Global Church episodes, so you're going to hear updates of what God is doing around the world. And if you haven't been able to pass on this specific sermon spotlight to any of your friends, do that. Let them know that they can get more in-depth detail. Just encouragement of what God is doing here at FBC.
Well, and even there is also just the sermon podcast. So you can subscribe to the sermon podcast and you can listen to those. You can listen to those sermons over and over and over
again. We don't talk about that.
Because that's what I do before I come.
Good. You can listen to it all over again. Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter, guys, is that sermons are not meant to just take an hour, but rather transform a lifetime. Until next week, much love. God bless.